Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Praise God. I'm so glad you guys are with us this morning. If you're joining us for the first time, my name is Chapman Laxton. I'm actually the youth pastor here at Christian Ministries Church. I'm also a teacher at the School of the Christian Ministries Academy. And I'm really, really glad that you guys are here. 2022, we made it. We did it. We got here. And you guys are here this morning and have braved some very uncharacteristic weather that we've grown accustomed to here in Missouri. How warm that it's been, you know what I mean? I don't know about you guys, but this is kind of, you know, I'm not liking this. I'm liking the 65, 70 degree weather we've been getting in December. But nevertheless, you guys are here, and I'm excited to share what God has laid on my heart. Vision Sunday is next week. So this week, as I'm leading us off, I just want to continue what Pastor Ashley started last week. As we go into 2022, the vision of 2021 doesn't get left there, right? We're going to continue to carry on the ideas of what the vision last year being essential was and carry that with us into this year. And essential doesn't get left behind, and rather we should opt to carry those lessons that we learned along with us into this new year. And it's the act of truly carrying it along with us and acting upon those lessons that leads me to my title this morning, which is The Resolve of Wisdom. The Resolve of Wisdom. The Resolve of Wisdom. I just couldn't get out of my head the study and the importance of all the things that we went through last year, and really they could all be encapsulated by wisdom. Wisdom was so essential to what God was speaking to us last year that it really hit me how vital it's always going to be. And like we studied last year, wisdom and God go hand in hand because he's the master of wisdom. He's the one that created wisdom. And if we're going to continue in the vision that God has for us, which means to be in God's will, then wisdom will never lose its appeal to those who call themselves followers of Christ, right? We're always going to be about wisdom. We need to be searching for wisdom. We need to continue to see that wisdom has value for us. Proverbs 8:11 says, "For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." Proverbs 16:16 says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver." See, wisdom is everything that God would have us to seek after, and that's because wisdom is a representative of the illustration of who Christ has become for us now in the new covenant. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and redemption." See, wisdom leads us to three really, really important things for the Christian faith: righteousness, holiness, and redemption. The New Living Translation takes that same verse and it actually goes on to define what those three words mean if you're kind of like me and need definitions of righteousness and holiness and redemption. It says it like this. It says, "God has united you with Christ Jesus for our benefit. God made him to be wisdom itself," the righteousness part. "Christ has made us right with God," the holiness part. "He made us pure and holy before him," and the redemption part. "He freed us from our sins." So then let me ask you that question again. What really can take the place of wisdom in our life? Nothing. That's why God sees it so highly valuable for us. Without wisdom, we have no representation. We have no relationship with God outside of understanding just the very, very basics of wisdom. The Bible talks about the beginning of all knowledge is a fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord starts with that. So the very, very basic constructs of our faith, having a fear or a reverence for God is the start of all wisdom. Then for us to continue to chase after that, we have to continue to grow in wisdom. So it's important then that we understand that wisdom does not just mean knowing the right answer. We talked about this a little bit last year. But it's knowing what the right thing is and then doing it. And then doing it. And then doing it. Over and over again. Doing it. Choosing the right thing and doing it. Choosing the right thing. Because we all probably know people that are really, really smart. They would go, they're not really wise in their decision making, right? We know people who are really, we talk about this, there's people that are book smart, you know what I mean? Like they know all the things and they know the facts and they can tell you what animal lives here, different things. But as far as it comes to actually living life and making right decisions and not continually finding themselves in places where they're frustrated, they're not really wise. That's because knowledge doesn't always necessarily go hand in hand with wisdom. Wisdom is being able to act upon the knowledge that you know is true and then being able to make the right decision continually over and over and over again. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's something that follows us all the days of our life. Wisdom, true wisdom, because there's wisdom that the world calls wisdom, and there's wisdom that we know is true. True wisdom brings us a resolve. Or in other words, if we think about what wisdom represents, Christ brings us to resolution. His Spirit in us guides us and teaches us. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says this, "These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." Christ brings resolution to our life, or wisdom brings resolution to our life. And we don't always recognize that, but it's very much true. See, what does resolution mean? A definition that's given by Webster's says, a firm decision to do or not to do something. And isn't that what Christ does in our life? Doesn't he give us resolve to say, that is something that I will do, or that is something based on my love for him and my appreciation for him, I will not do that thing. See, Christ moves us to resolution, and again, those firm decisions are based out of wisdom. So you didn't just come up with that. Christ taught you that. The Word taught you that. The Spirit showed you that. And what's really, really great about this is that in a Christian's life, hopefully, you don't wait just for January 1st of every single year to have resolutions of things that the Lord's trying to show you to do. These are things that follow us every day of the year, or as the year goes on, as we're growing, as we're maturing in the faith, Christ moves us to resolution or to more resolve in areas, because that's how our spirit walk goes. We grow and we mature. We learn from wisdom and gain more resolve. But see, even the world understands this to a small degree. Isn't that what they do at the beginning of every year? With resolutions, they see an area of their lives that they understand needs some change here. They see places for resolution, and that's a good thing. And they get behind that principle. And there's a lot of them that do it. A 2020 study showed that 188.9 million Americans from one study, or 74% of the population, make resolutions. That's a lot. A lot of our population sees areas where they need to change. But like we all know with resolutions, they don't always have a very long shelf life. And that resolution word sometimes can kind of have a negative connotation because it's kind of so laughable about how quickly they fail. It says from that same study that less than 8% actually accomplished what they set out to do in the beginning of the year. You know, we laugh at that. We laugh at resolutions. But, you know, we've all been there, right? We've all done that. We saw the necessity and the want in our life for our next year to be better than our last year. The world sees that too. They're hopeful in the idea that if they play their part, then it's going to be. But they just can't seem to follow through. They had the greatest of intentions. True wisdom did something in them, revealed an area or areas of lack. And they circle the date, or we circle the date. We wrote down the change that we're going to make, and presto, look at me. I've got a brand new lease on life. I'm going to be the new me. 2022 is coming up all Chapman this year, you know, until it's February and we find myself dealing with the same thing that I dealt with last year. We find ourselves dealing with the same issues, same frustrations, same bondage that we had in our lives the last time that we made the resolution that we were going to try to change that thing. And it's gross and it's awful. And what it does is it leaves us a bad taste in our mouth for making any changes. But the Bible has a pretty candid verse that illustrates this point. Proverbs 6:11 says this, "Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly." See, somewhere in the 3 weeks that we made our resolution to the time that it died, our resolve for change dissolved. our determination dissolved. Our conviction turned into contempt, and we lost sight of what we said that we wanted. See, what happened was we tried to lift ourselves up to our resolve without the proper technique, without the right frame of mind, without what we were trying to accomplish. See, like we said, wisdom's a good thing. We already recognize that. Wisdom's good. We need wisdom. True wisdom's going to compel us to make change. So then what happened? Matthew 11, 28 and 30 says this, and this is kind of a bigger part here that I want to kind of get into. Matthew 11, 28 and 30. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, what happens is we receive the conviction from wisdom to make a change, a resolution in our lives. We receive the assignment, and we try to lift it without first learning from God how to do it. Verse 29 out of that verse says, or that passage says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." See, a lot of us are really good at we take on the yoke. We take on the assignment from God. We get from wisdom the change that we see that we want to make in our life, right? But instead of staying in that place and learning from God how we need to carry that, we take that yoke on ourselves and then we just go. All right, I'm going to go. I'm going to plow on ahead. And what we do is we miss an opportunity there for the Lord. We have to be teachable. We have to be correctable. See, what happens is really what happens when we make resolutions and we see them fail, we either fail to recognize the actual work that's going to have to go into it, or the time that's necessary to make those changes. See, if we'll take God's yoke upon us and then learn from him, we are going to find rest for our souls. But when we try to take on the yoke, we try to take on the assignment, we try to make the change that we get from wisdom, we learn from the Holy Spirit that we need to make, we see ourselves fail and we find ourselves back in this place of, why am I still struggling with this? I had the best of intentions, right? It's kind of like the old adage, well, it's the thought that counts. Well, we all know that don't work. It's not just having the best intentions, it's about following through on those intentions, right? Intentions don't actually make an impact in anybody's life. But see, what God would rather have us do is have us be fulfillers of his word, would have us be doers of his word. See, God truly does want, I truly believe it, God truly wants 2022 to be the best year for your life. And those resolutions that we get along the way are the steps necessary for us to accomplish them. But if all we are just good intentioned people, and we're not teachable people, and we're not correctable people, and we can't learn from God the habits that need to change, we're going to continue to find ourselves dealing with the same struggles we've been dealing with for the last 10 years. We're going to find our marriages in the same state that they've been in for the last 20 years. We're still complaining about our spouse, or we're still complaining about our job, or we're still complaining about the outset of our life whenever God's been trying to teach us and we're not taking on his yoke. His yoke is easy and light, but it's still a yoke. His yoke is easy and light, but it's still a yoke. And it takes time in the presence of a master to learn how to not get overcome by our resolutions. I heard someone talking to me about this. It was actually my brother-in-law, in fact. He was talking to me about lifting. And he was talking to me about how the Lord was talking to him about, you know, he does a lot of things in their ministry, and he was really finding himself just tired all the time. And he was just like, God, I know that you want me to do these things. I know that these are changes that you want me to make in my life. And here I am sacrificing, but I constantly find myself being tired. And what he did was he pointed out to him, he said, Michael, you're lifting incorrectly. And what he did was he began to reveal to him how it's like lifting form. There are exercises that you do to build yourself up. There are things that you have to do to operate in life, and he was talking about how whenever you lift a box, do you lift with your back? No, you lift with your legs so that you save your back, right? There are things that you do where if you do a certain lift incorrectly, you're going to put undue stress on yourself because you're having to overcompensate for an area that you're not using correctly. And just as Michael was just talking to me about this, this happened over the break, this goes right into my message of what the Lord was wanting to share with us. See, when you start thinking about that his yoke is supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be light. The reason why it feels so heavy is because we've missed something along the way. We've not paid attention to that technique. I know we've got some CrossFitters in here. Dez, Chico, there's some other people in here. It's all technique. And the guys that make it look really, really easy, yeah, sure, they're super strong. Yeah, sure, they're super tough. But they have that technique down. Think about your life individually. Think about the things that you've tried to accomplish with the wrong frame of mind or the wrong resolve, if you will, the wrong mindset of how to lift that or to do this thing that God's asking you to accomplish. When we try to lift things incorrectly, what happens is we either, one, make it way harder on ourselves and can't lift all that we're being required to lift, or what happens is, and this is much worse, we actually do damage to our own body. And then whenever you get a crick in your back or you get, you know, something wrong with some part of your body, you then have to take some time off and you know, and I start just thinking about this thing spiritually, you start thinking about therapy whenever you get yourself hurt and injured or just even having to take time to recuperate. You can't take that time off. Your job is needed. You know, we're talking about this stuff spiritually. We're talking about resolve spiritually. You're needed to accomplish this. We have to have you accomplish this. But because you weren't lifting the right way, because you weren't approaching this resolve the right way, this change the right way, you're finding yourself still getting bogged down by the same thing that you had a resolution for that the Holy Spirit dropped in your heart 10 years ago to change in your life. That you want to change. You have great intention to change. But because we're not taking time to learn from God, we're not seeing ourselves go anywhere. Pastor Ashley made a point last week talking about how there's always someone looking up to you. And I started thinking about resolutions and I started thinking about wisdom. There was a step in that where I just was thinking about, man, someone is always looking up to you. But you know, another thing is there are also people in your season of life that are looking across to you. There are people that aren't necessarily in the season below you, but people that are in the same season as you that need you to do your job the right way. Because them watching you do your job the right way makes them go, okay, I can do, okay, how are they doing it? How are they doing it? And you just start building on that. Think of what lifting the right way, approaching your resolves the right way in wisdom does for the body of Christ. Can you really afford to be out hurt because you weren't lifting right? Can the body of Christ afford you to be injured because you were not doing it the right way? Can the body of Christ afford you to continue to be held back by the same thing that God's been trying to get you to work through for years and years and years? Think about that. Think about that for us as a whole. Fault in execution leads to failures in performance. And the damage in your part of your area of the body leads to damage in the whole part of the body. If Braden Bettinger forgets to come in here and turn on the heat, everyone in here is cold. There's a failure in execution. But boy, I'll tell you what, whenever he comes in here and gets the heat on, we're all like, Braden, you rock. Whenever all the musicians are up here playing their part, and everyone's doing a great job, but Rob busts all the strings on his guitar, it doesn't matter that the rest of everything else is going great. But what does everybody's attention go to? Goes to the one part, the one member that did something wrong. And you guys get what I'm saying? You start making that application. The body of Christ needs the resolutions that God's placing in your life. The body of Christ needs you to be effective and efficient in your technique of how you're operating in your resolve of wisdom. Listen, I don't know what areas it is that you're working on. There's a huge laundry list of the most popular ones, from eating right to exercising to spending more time in the Word to reading books to whatever. I don't know what the Holy Spirit has guided you to make resolutions for. But what I don't want to see is what typically happens when people fail. They're less apt to try that thing again. 2022 is a huge vision for us. Pastor Ashley and Pastor Tim Brooks and God have been working together on this. And I'm telling you, the vision for our church this year is huge. You're not going to want to miss next week. But we cannot afford as a church to continue to be held back by our resentment towards change in our life. We can't be. We can't accomplish everything without you. Without you. And if you're thinking that I'm not pointing at you, I'm pointing at you. I don't have time to literally go all the way around the room and point at all however many hundred people we have here. Okay? God needs us. We've got a big assignment, a big vision. And we can't afford to be lifted incorrectly where we're causing damage to the body of Christ. Where people are hurt because other parts of the body aren't operating correctly. And that's top down, in whatever frame that you think that that operates. We must adhere to the plans the Holy Spirit lays out for us. They come to us from God. God's wisdom shows us areas of change for our life, and those things are rooted in God's resolve for the plan that he has for our lives. He understands there's going to be failures. See, God has enough resolve and enough determination for your life to not give up on you. What he's hoping is that you don't get so frustrated at your inability and your lack of technique that you don't want to try to accept those things that he's trying to get you to change. The things that you've tried in the past and failed. Those things that you've been dealing with. Listen, just spend some time with the master. Take on his yoke. It's easy. If you're feeling like, man, I serve all the time, man, I'm tired all the time. I'm telling you, there's something wrong. You're in your technique, there's something wrong. You're operating in something wrong. You're doing exactly what you should be doing. Don't let the devil try to steal you out of the place that you're supposed to. But there's just a little, we've gotten tired. What happens when we get tired? We stop doing things correctly. We start growing a little bit weary in well-doing, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves in a place where, oh, crud, now I've got frustration, or I've got a failure. Don't let that take you out. Don't let that take you out. Past failures are not excuses for continual poor decisions. Okay? Just because you made a past failure does not mean your life just needs a continual place of poor decisions. Things can change. Things can change. You have to have hope that they can change. The very fact that the Holy Spirit is working inside of you and giving you resolutions. It's not, and I'm not just talking about New Year's resolutions. I'm talking about resolutions throughout the year. As the Holy Spirit shows you things to change and Christ is giving, is revealing things to you and showing you how to do things different or do things better, to do things a new way. The very fact that God's operating you that way lets you know that God has hope for the plan that he has for you. If you stop hearing from God, okay, we're in a tough place. We're in a tough place. But here's the great thing. God's always reaching out to us. God doesn't give up hope for us. God's grace and his mercy is eternal. It's us. We start listening to the noise. We start drowning him out. And then we get in a place where we're not hearing God. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. So here's what I want to do this morning, if I haven't completely ruined your idea of that a resolution is a good thing for your life. I want to encourage you in four areas of what accepting the yoke of wisdom, the resolve of wisdom in your life does, not just for you, but for the body of Christ. Four things to encourage you in and why you should take that up again. If you're feeling like this morning, I really don't like resolutions. They're dumb. They always fail. We've been lifting wrong. We've got the wrong mindset. Let's approach this in a different technique. And I want to encourage you with four things and show you what it does for the body of Christ. All right? Y'all with me? Okay. So here's what this does. The first thing that it does is it makes you intentional to the body. Intentional to the body. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. When we're being intentional towards the body by taking up our resolutions, what it does is it shows people that we are serious about what we say that we believe in. Us taking those, whenever we're being very careful how we walk, I don't want to walk as the unwise, but as the wise. What it shows to people is that we are making a conscious decision. You don't just walk into being wise accidentally. You have to be very intentional in how you accomplish your result. You're not going to accomplish your resolutions without being intentional. It's the same thing with how we affect the body. You're not going to positively affect the body of Christ without being intentional. Proverbs 13:4 says this, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied." There's a lot there in that verse. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. This is talking about being intentional towards the body. This is not just talking about intentions only. This is an intention that springs into action. Okay? The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. He's got a craving. He's got a hunger. He's got a desire. He's got intention. But he gets nothing. The reason why he gets nothing is because he's not actually doing anything about it. Again, like I said earlier, we cannot just be well-intentioned Christians this year. It's not just enough for us to have the best intentions. Or we'll find ourselves like the sluggard. We'll find ourselves in a place where we are always in lack. We're not going to see the accomplishments in our resolutions. We're not going to find ourselves going forward in our Christian walk. We're not going to see ourselves growing and maturing. We're going to continue to deal with the same old, same old. The other side of that verse says, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Being diligent is being intentional. Being diligent is being watchful. Being diligent is continuing to follow after and to walk in the way that you know that you're supposed to go. Again, like we talked about, wisdom is not just knowing the right way to go and then picking something different. Wisdom is knowing what's going to work, knowing what's going to be effective for your life, and then making the right choice. I love this kind of this whole idea. Being honest with yourself and about your current condition and the distance to your preferred situation is key to your improvement. It's the first step. It's the first step. And being intentional about how you want to grow and develop will help you achieve your results. See, the intentionality of you with the Lord will prompt you to move. You on your own isn't going to help nothing. It's just going to show you that distance. You're going to go, oh my gosh, how in the world am I supposed to? It's just like when you get that yoke put on your shoulder. Okay, I feel the conviction of the Lord, which is a good conviction. It's not condemnation, conviction. We kind of always put a negative connotation on that. It's not what it is. Okay, we get that wisdom, that resolve that we want to make a change, right? And if we're not careful when we put that on, if we don't spend time to learn from the Lord and humble ourselves before him, that's going to feel real heavy at first. Spend time in his presence. That's the intentionality that will prompt you to make a change. And again, like we said, it's not just what it does for you, but what it's going to do for your spouse, for your coworker, for the rest of the people in this church, for people that you interact with on a day-to-day basis, you choosing to be intentional with how you're approaching your resolves is going to positively affect the body of Christ. That's what it's all about. The second thing that I believe that I just want to encourage you with this morning about taking up the resolve of wisdom is that it is going to give you hope through your engagement. Hope through your engagement. And hope is a powerful thing. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." What does the world have if they don't have hope? Nothing. And there's a lot of people in the world that don't have hope. That's because they don't know who Christ is. There's a lot of people that don't have. There's a lot of people that don't believe that things can get better. I pray that that's not ever a Christian's thought of how life can be. See, we always have hope. Doesn't matter how dire the situation is, the circumstance, I can have hope whenever I'm in good health and I can have hope whenever I'm in bad health. Because regardless of the situation, I believe that things are going to always have a place to get better. Because with God, nothing is impossible. See, nothing is impossible with God. And for us, whenever we choose to take up the resolve of wisdom, what we're saying is we believe, God, that things can get better. We believe it. We believe it. By simply taking on that yoke, you're saying, God, I believe. I believe. And hope begins to kickstart something in you. And this is what it does for the body. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Hope's the start of being filled with all joy and peace. If you can hope for something, you can have joy and you can have peace in believing. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. When you begin to just exude joy and peace, joy and peace, joy and peace, people around you begin to take notice. Man, okay, I get it. You're a Christian, but why in the world are you not just completely in despair about this? Can you not see the state of the world right now? Can you not see the state of the economy right now? What do you have? I have the hope in Christ. I have the hope that is Christ Jesus. And he gives me a resolve, a determination, that no matter what the circumstances are, I can have joy and I can have peace. Whenever we choose to take up our resolves of wisdom this year, whenever we're choosing to take those on and put that yoke on this year, you're choosing to have hope. You're choosing to believe that God wants to fulfill something in your life. It's not accomplished yet, but God's continuing to do the good work in my life until it's completed. Amen? And so that's the second thing. See, making a New Year's resolution or a resolution throughout the world is inherently hopeful and optimistic. See, this positive view of the future in turn tends to motivate action in the world for a little bit. But see, our hope for the future is based on a worldview and a mindset that comes not from the world, but it comes from God. And see, our motivation is a lot less, hopefully, selfless than what the world's motivation is. It's not just to look good. It's not just so that our life can just be something that people can envy. But see, what we're hoping to produce out of our own worldview is for the betterment of the entire community. It's for the growth of the body. It's for the improvement of the world and of the church. And so our motivation that motivates us to action is how we can positively affect others through our hope. So that's the second one there. The third one, and this is a little bit of a stronger one here in the sense of it's not just kind of mushy. But it's responsibility. Taking on the resolve of wisdom brings responsibility. A short verse here, but strong verse. Galatians 6:5. For each will have to bear his own load. For each will have to bear his own load. Can the body of Christ afford you to not bear your own load? Can you afford days off spiritually? Can your family afford you to not bear your own load? I think we'd all go, no. So each will have to bear his own load. Whenever we're taking on the responsibility, what we're saying is, God, I want to do my part. God, I want to do the part that you've called me to do. See, I don't want Kelly to have to do my part. Not because I don't respect Kelly or that I don't think that Kelly wouldn't do a great job, but I know that God has a calling and a purpose on my life. And I want God to be able to work through me. We should all want God to be able to work through us. And it's only by us taking on the responsibility that that's ever going to happen. Pastor Ashley talked about it a little bit in the tithe. If we can show ourselves responsible in the little things. Huh? If we can show ourselves responsible in the little things. And if you can really stop that habit of staying up so late and spend some time doing this, we can show ourselves responsible in the little things. It's like I'm saying, the convictions aren't necessarily all these big, huge, evil things. Maybe you need to spend some less time watching TV. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's convicting you of. I don't know what resolution he's given you. Maybe you need to call that person, check up on them a little bit more. Maybe there's somebody that you know in your family that you've been meaning to reach out to more. I don't know what that is, but what it does is that resolve of wisdom that you take up you put that responsibility and you say, God, right here. God, I want to take that responsibility for the body of Christ. Another verse, 1 Corinthians 3:8 says, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. Could you imagine? No, I can't really, but could you imagine like working in a, like, I don't know, a field business, a planting business, and it was your job to plant the seed, and then some guy's supposed to come behind you later and water it, and you only got paid once the crop came in. And so you did your job, you planted the seed, but no one came after you to water it. How effective is that system going to be? Not going to be very successful. We've got a parking lot team to get people in, but then we don't have anybody actually help them park. We just have Merlin out there just telling them, hey, come down this way. But there's no one out there to show them where to actually go. It's not going to be super effective. The body of Christ depends on both people to play their part. It's not just, and on the other end, it's not just a person just watering. If there's a guy just out there watering dirt, nothing's ever going to grow. Nothing's ever been planted. Everyone has to play their part. Everyone has to play their part. Everyone has to play their part. We have to have the right technique. We have to have the right system in place in order for us to see something grow. And you have to do that sometimes for your own life. But then as you begin to fulfill those things that God's called you to do, as you begin to walk in the things in your area, what happens is the system that's been set up and in place, you have your little link in the chain that you're accomplishing, and that strengthens the whole chain. We need all people to play their parts. The last one here, and this is kind of more about family, but I just, as I think about our church, it's one of the churches of family, I really, this again, just that whole idea of responsibility. I really think this is important, especially because I know there's a lot of us in here that view ourselves as leaders. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You have a role, you have a responsibility for this family. You have a role and you have a responsibility to this body of believers. Are you fulfilling it? Are you fulfilling it? Don't have such contempt for the yoke of the Lord because you've had past failures that you resent having to do any work for the body of Christ. Don't deny your faith. Our responsibility will have impact on those around us. Even the ones that might just seem very individual and self-improvement. Because those things affect our families, our friends, our colleagues, and our communities. Even if your resolution is just to get healthy, that's going to help keep you around longer for your family and your friends. Even if your only resolution is, man, I just want to get healthier. Hey, that's longer than you can be on this earth to continue to do the work of the ministry. Some of my favorite people in this whole church they're kind of newer, the Warshams. They ain't done yet. They're not done serving the Lord. And they are very vocal about it. They said, we are not sitting around. We're going to invite people over. We're going to minister. They help out with the school. They're calling people over. They're having people over for dinner all the time. And they're just always looking for opportunities to minister. They take this responsibility very seriously. They take the time that they have very seriously in what they're doing. And they see the responsibility in that. I don't want to wait till I'm that age to see that I have a responsibility. The last one is this. The last thing I want to encourage you, whenever you take on the resolve of wisdom, what it does is it provides inspiration to others. Hebrews 10:24-25 says this. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. When we take on our resolve of wisdom. When we take on these resolutions, from the conviction that the Lord has placed on our life, we can stir one another up. I can't talk to Matt about healthy choices that I'm making in my life if I'm not making healthy choices. I can't teach Matt. This is one of my favorite things that Pastor Ashley teaches on. I'm not seeking to learn anything from somebody that's struggling with the same things that I'm struggling from. But people that are in a place that I want to be are people who can stir me up, who can lift me up. People that I see worshiping here stir me up. People that I see praying stir me up. People that I see posting scripture stir me up. People that I see having good families and loving their families and teaching their kids right stir me up. See, whenever we accomplish what we're supposed to, whenever we meet our goals and our resolutions, we encourage one another. Romans 1, 11 and 12 says this, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." The key word there is mutually encouraged. Mutually encouraged. Mutually encouraged. I want whenever people meet with me, I want them to be encouraged by my faith. On the other end, yeah, I would love to be able to be encouraged by their faith, but I always want, if someone's going to be meeting with me, I want them to be encouraged by my faith. Whenever we're accomplishing our goals, whenever we're taking on that resolve, those resolutions, we are accomplishing our faith. And we can encourage others with our faith when we're doing those things. When you seek to be better, do better, or contribute more fully, you tend to inspire others as well. Think about this. The primary way people learn is through experiencing the behavior of others. Even if they're not consciously aware of it, people pick up on choices and cues from others constantly. How do you think that God moves in people's lives? More time than not, he moves through people. He's really would love to move through you, but you're still stuck in 2012. Okay? You're still stuck in 2013. You're still stuck in 2017. Some of us are still stuck in 2020. At some point, we have to get on with our life and move into the promises that God would have for us. God's trying to make a way for his people through his people. But we can't get out of our own way. God would really love to operate through you for the body of Christ. That's why he's giving you these resolutions. That's why he's trying to show you things that you could improve upon, that you could change, that you can incorporate. But we're still caught up in our past failure, and we're continuing to make poor decisions. Let's mature beyond that. Let's live with the right technique. In closing, I just want to add these things. God's wisdom shows us areas of change for our lives. Those things are rooted in God's resolve for the plan that he has for our life. And when we choose to allow the resolutions of wisdom in our lives to take hold and produce, the people around us will be affected for the goodness of the kingdom of God and the body of Christ by the will of the Father in us. Wisdom, however, will only continue to be evident in our lives as much as our resolve is to carry it. We will only be able to carry it if our determination is strong enough. And our determination will only stay strong enough if our technique is right. It's the Lord's yoke. It's supposed to be easy and light. Learn from him first. Be coachable. Be humble. And let's allow ourselves to play the part we were destined for as we carry out this great vision God has for us. Amen. Y'all stand with me.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.